It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. At 2:30, why do September 17th and 18th matter? A number of interesting holidays and some cool birthdays, too. And in mere minutes, we get you D-gens ready for the football weekend with the great Sam Paniatovic. Sammy P! I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three. Hope your weekend is off to a good start. Maybe you've already figured out a way to get out there and, you know, get to some drinking or eating and drinking or relaxing or whatever. Remember to come see us tomorrow at Bevo Boulevard and at 17th and San Jacinto at the Texas Tailgarden. They will fire up a lot of that. I think 11 a.m. is when a lot of the stuff opens up tomorrow, but we get started at 3 o'clock with Longhorn Game Day, brought to you by Coors Light. And, of course, 7 o'clock kick for Texas and Rice. We also invite you to go check out the fellas in San Marcos. They're down in Jeff Howe's neck of the woods, so he's going to stop by today and talk to Rod and Kevin a little bit, and they'll be telling you about drink specials and food and all kinds of stuff out at the Craft House Kitchen and Tap there in San Marcos. Go to hornfm.com for more info on that. All right, we ready to roll? We good? Let's hit the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. He is Sammy P, the betting analyst for Nesson. He is the host of the Chicken Dinner podcast, and he's here to talk some games. Sammy, how are you?
You talk about drinking, man. I couldn't have had enough after Iowa State. You know, and this is man. And you get the DMs like, good call on Iowa State. I'm like, yeah, I had them turning it over four times in that game. You know, like, you can't account for stuff like that. But, you know, for all the talk about last week, well, you made people money. You know, last week was, you know, lost a little bit last week, but this is a grind, and you have to understand that this doesn't just end, you know, in the first week of September, second week of September. This goes all the way through the bowl season and through the NFL playoffs. We're going to win a lot, and we're going to lose a lot, and I have no problem telling you that.
No doubt about that, Sam. And, well, I got fooled into thinking the Longhorns could cover at Arkansas. I thought they would be a better team, a more physical football team. So these things certainly do happen. And as a matter of fact, our show is responsible for just picking winners in games in a season-long deal with other shows and radio stations here in our cluster. We went 0-5 last week. So that was just one of those weeks where you feel like you have a really good bit on the a really good beat on the college and professional levels with, like, what teams are or what they're going to be. And there's a lot of fight in some of these squads that started out 0-1 or maybe didn't show out as nicely as they'd like to have on the college side of things in week one.
I think sometimes, Trey, we get fooled as human beings. We get fooled by one result and we fail to acknowledge the bigger picture. You know, we sat here 2 weeks ago and we talked about how I thought people were overreacting to Lafayette and how Texas, you know, on a healthy day, should beat the snot out of Lafayette, and they do that. But then what happens? We, and by we, I mean your audience down there in the heart of Texas, you all watch that game, and you're like, damn, Texas is legit. It's really just one football game against a team with a really small offensive and defensive line, and then, oh, they go to Arkansas. Whoa, oh, it's only -6, 6.5. Yeah, they can win by 7, and the reality is usually – somewhere in the middle. Now, look, I didn't think Arkansas was going to win that game, but we did discuss how I didn't think it was a good idea to lay those points in Card's first game ever starting on the road. I mean, that's just not an ideal situation. So now when you move ahead to Rice, Texas, and you look at that number, you're like, oh, boy, 26 is the point spread. I usually throw those out the window. I have no interest in laying 26 or taking 26, but when you read between the lines and you see some of the quotes out of Austin, what did they talk about last week? They couldn't stop the run. So you have to imagine that side of the ball is going to be foaming at the mouth. I think defensively, Texas has a lot to prove here. So when you look at the point total, open 53, down to 52 right now, this is a game. If I'm Sark and I'm the staff, I'm trying to hold Rice to 13. 14. Like, I think the defensive side of the ball has to be crucial here. So if I had to go one way in this game, I'm probably looking under. Fundamentally, Texas has to control the line of scrimmage on both ends of the ball, but I really think that defense has to shut down Rice, which they very well could. This game could be like, I don't know, 35-10, 35-13. Does that sound in the ballpark? And in that case, we're under 42, 42.5. Like, I think I really want to see a lot out of Texas defensively. And if they are as good as I think they can be against Rice, this game goes under more times than not.
Talking with Sammy P, betting analyst for Nesson. Also, check out the Chicken Dinner podcast. All right, Sammy, a lot of people would say it is easy money when you just lay points with Alabama. Doesn't matter what the points are. Doesn't matter where they play. Doesn't matter who they play. Just take Alabama. Would you agree this week?
Man, it's almost cheap to take them when they're on the road. I love taking them on the road because, obviously, the number's less. You know, when they're at home, you're laying huge numbers.
Right.
If this game is Alabama-Florida in Tuscaloosa, this point spread's probably 23, 24. But because we play it on the road and it's in Gainesville, you know, you're looking at 14.5, 15. So I think it's relatively cheaper, obviously, and it's a little easier to lay that number on the road. But here's that first half trend that has been very popular amongst some professional bettors for the last 3 years. I want to say it's about 71 or 72% Alabama's cover clip in the first half.
Wow.
So you get them, you get them early, right? And they go up, you know, against Miami. It's like, all right, they're laying 21 in the game, but they're up, what was it, 28-3 or 28-10 at half. Alabama first half against Florida is now 7.5, 8. Doesn't that sound a lot more doable than laying 14.5, 15 for the whole game? And we know Saban, you know, even in that SEC championship game last year against Florida, like, they went up big, I think, first quarter, early second quarter, and then the game ended up being closer late in the game. That team is so tough to stop early, and they do call the dogs off oftentimes late in game. So I don't like laying big numbers on the road. I'd much rather cut that thing in half and lay that number under 10 in the first half. That's a little bit easier for me to swallow.
Sam, your money in picking Penn State over Wisconsin a couple weeks ago in the season opener. Is there anything you like about the Nittany Lions home affair with the Auburn Tigers tomorrow night?
Yeah, the Sharp guys came in. They took 6, and they took 5.5 on Auburn. Little concerning that Auburn hasn't exactly played anybody yet. I mean, it's not like they have the resume so far that Penn State has through two games. So I'm a little nervous there, and you missed the best number. But I don't know that we can take games against – who did they even play in their first game? Who is AKR? Akron. Ooh, 60-10 against Akron. And then they followed that up with a 62-0 win over Alabama State. That's a tough one, boys.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm a little cautious here of Penn State being a tough spot. It is a whiteout. It's a 7:30 kick. There's going to be 105,000 drunk people in Happy Valley. That's going to be a much tougher test for Auburn. I do lean to the dog here, but I'm not going to play this one per se. I can tell you, though, the players that make a lot of money at this and do it for a living, they did take Auburn. They took 6 and 5.5. You're starting to see some 5s and 4.5s in the market. So respected money showing for Auburn. But, man, I'm skeptical of who they've played, and this is going to be for sure the first test of their season.
Talking with Sammy P, the betting analyst for Nesson. All right, Sammy, Trey just texted me some of your picks for the week. I just love a world where Michigan is back in people's thoughts. Just at all. Give me your thoughts on this Michigan. Was it Northern Illinois they're playing this week? Hosting them in an 11 a.m. affair tomorrow morning. What do you like about that game?
Well, you know me. We're going down the board a bit. We're not going to pick Alabama, Florida. I don't think we've got the value there. But I do think Michigan, you know, when you look at what they did against Washington, they held the Huskies to 50 yards rushing. 50-0.
Wow. Yeah.
These Huskies are going to have arguably an even tougher time. That's a MAC offensive line, not a Pac-12 offensive line. And, you know, the point spread hanging around 27. Yeah, I can make a case one way or the other there, but to me, the under is the play. I went under 55.5. It's down a little bit to about 54.5, but this thing has all the makings of like 38-7 or 35-10 or something like that, where Northern is not going to be able to move the ball. Even if they get a touchdown or 10 points or something like that, Michigan is going to be up so much in this game. They're not going to show you anything. It's also a situational letdown spot. You just played Washington. Next week you got Rutgers, which is a tougher opponent than it's been in years past. But this is a spot for Jim Harbaugh where you just survive in advance, man. Even if they win like 28-3 or 35-6, it just every number I compute total wise, it's under 55.5, under 55-ish. So I think the under here is a really solid play. Northern's not going to score much, and it's crazy because last week they played Wyoming 50-43. There were 900 yards of offense almost in that game. Well, because neither team plays any defense. Michigan is just, they're going to stuff them at the line. It's going to be tough for Northern to move the ball. Under's a really good one there, I believe.
Notre Dame is maybe being a little bit petty and not allowing Purdue to use the home tunnel to get their big drum into Notre Dame Stadium. But why do you like the Fighting Irish as 7-point favorites over the Boilermakers?
Because nobody else likes them. That's first and foremost. I think it's amazing, you know, coming into a season, everybody was betting Notre Dame against Florida State. And it's like, oh, well, Florida State played well. And then, you know, people are laying the wood against Toledo. And it's like, oh, maybe Notre Dame isn't that good. Well, no, maybe they just, A, traveled to Tallahassee week one, played on a Sunday night, then had to come home short week and play Toledo, who's probably going to win the MAC. Like, Toledo's a really good team. By all accounts, in their world of football. So you get a little bit of value here because Notre Dame is not as sexy. Look at the ticket counts. Way more tickets on Notre Dame than Florida State. Way more bets on Notre Dame against Toledo. And now you're looking at, ooh, Purdue getting more tickets. Purdue getting more money. It's almost like, now Notre Dame is not sexy at all. And here's a situation where no travel, no more short week. They're well-rested. And I would argue this is the best spot for them to play a complete game on both sides of the ball. I laid 7. Number's now 7.5. Yeah, I still like it at that number. They can win by 10. They can win 14, 17. Purdue's also without their leading rusher and their starting tailback, Xander Horvath. He broke his fibula, so he's out, which will allow Notre Dame to put a lot of pressure on Jack Plummer, the quarterback for Purdue. So, yeah, Purdue's a good team, but they also haven't really played anybody either. They just went into UConn and won by 1,000,000 points. Well, UConn doesn't even have a head coach anymore. So I think let's not pay attention to what happened in the last 2 weeks, and let's focus on what could happen in South Bend, where you get a Notre Dame team that really hasn't put it all together yet. But if they do, they could easily win this game by 2 scores. Easily.
All right, Sammy, when it comes to the NFL, I'm going to be focused as a Cowboys fan on that Cowboys-Chargers game. If Terrence Steele can't block Bosa, they may be calling you, so keep your phone near you. I am highly concerned. I'm seeing -3.5 for the Chargers, but it looks like you're telling folks if they can get to what, +3 with the Cowboys, you'd lean Cowboys here. Do you think the Cowboys are winning it or just covering?
Well, I always take the points. I took 3 on Monday, and the reason it got to 3.5 is because we heard the news about DeMarcus Lawrence. So that's why it sort of blew through the 3, and now we're at 3 in the hook. Fine, take the 3 in the hook. You're going to get a better number than I do. But, I mean, really, it comes down to Dallas's offense, I think, was sensational against Tampa Bay. And now, let's not forget, they get those extra 3 days of rest and preparation. They played on Thursday night, so they got the extra Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Relax, chill out, get healthy on that offensive line. And I've been told that they're going to use a lot more Zeke in this game because they want to neutralize the Chargers' pass rushers. They got some good dudes to get off the edge and get across and put pressure on quarterbacks. But if Dallas can feed Zeke a little bit more than they did last week, he had 11 carries for like 33 yards. They barely used them. I think they use a little bit more of them in this game, and the total is telling us all that there are not going to be many stops in this game. This total opened up at 50. Now we're at 55. So this could be one of those games where the last team to have the ball could win the game. And, you know, you take 3.5 with Dallas. If they're down 10, backdoor wide open with a touchdown late, I just don't think the Chargers are as good as everybody thinks they are. They're a good team, but they're not a great team. And this has been a professional angle for a long time. Many years of fading the Chargers with Schottenheimer and Norv Turner and Anthony Lynn. They've never been a good team as a home favorite. They just haven't for 15 years. So I think the Chargers are good, but I think this number's gotten to the wrong way of 3, and I would take the 3.5 with Dallas, plug it and play it. I think Dallas will be in this thing down to the very end.
Yeah, their home field situation is a debacle in Los Angeles, where most weeks you have the road crowd showing up in droves and Chargers fans just not being there. All right, Sam, now your other NFL money pick really speaks to this idea that you will go places nobody else will.
This is
sick.
The
Jaguars looked awful at Houston last week. The Texans also not very good, but you are taking them as 6-point home dogs over Denver this weekend. Please explain yourself, sir.
And this is where the audience starts to go, wait a minute, is this guy drunk already? Really? This number, I love to look at the look-ahead line. So we always get lines for the following week. Like, I can already see week 3 lines right now, even though we haven't played week 2 yet. The look-ahead before game 1 was Denver -2.5, okay? So understanding that, that was the perception that the casinos had before the season started. Denver plays exceptionally well against a really bad Giants team, and Jacksonville, who everybody bet, by the way. Remember, Jacksonville was a favorite last week. They got bet up from 2.5 to 3.5, and they didn't play well in one game. And now we go from Denver -2.5 to Denver -6. And I can't justify that overreaction. Denver playing their second game in a row across the country. Now they have to deal with the heat in Jacksonville, 87 degrees. And you think about what Trevor Lawrence is able to do against a Denver secondary that isn't exactly healthy. I mean, they're not. Daniel Jones just can't hit the broadside of a barn. Daniel Jones is a running quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is an accurate quarterback, so he can make the throws that can stretch this Denver defense. And let's also, Trey, let's remember this. Jerry Jeudy, the best receiver for the Broncos, is out.
That's true.
He's out for a long time. So now we're taking Teddy Two Gloves. We're making him a 6-point favorite on the road in the year of our Lord 2021. And I feel like if the Denver Broncos were a stock, this is like, you could have bought Tesla at 200, now they're at 1,000. Like, that's what Denver stock is right now. And everybody is betting Denver because everybody watched Jacksonville play last week. It's never that simple in the NFL. And here's the other thing, with a spread of 6, if Jacksonville's down 8, 10, 12 late in the game, back door's always open for you. I think Jacksonville, it's not going to be popular, but I don't like being the cool kid in class, man. I want to hang out the back.
That's why I like you, Sammy P.
Very nice. Sammy P., betting analyst for Nesson. Check out the Chicken Dinner podcast. If you're on Twitter, at SPShoot is how you can reach out to him and give him a follow. Sammy, enjoy the games, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, gentlemen. We got Presbyterian this weekend, too. Oh, don't forget.
Yes,
no.
Tell us a little bit about Presbyterian. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this.
10 more touchdowns for the quarterback?
Well, I don't think we're going to get – they're playing Campbell. Campbell's a better team, but I see a total right now of 64 between Presbyterian and Campbell. That seems low. I think we're going 70s in this one. So just keep your eyes peeled. If you see a Presbyterian line tomorrow, some of these books don't even have them up yet. If you get a 63 or a 64 – go over. There's going to be a lot of points in this game.
Love that.
Thanks, Sam.
See ya.
Yeah. The Presbyterian. He wants to do it. He told us a week or so ago, right? He wants to see like a 70-point over-under and take the over. That's what he's hoping for.
He's been right so far.
Presbyterian is scoring crazy points. Yeah, they never punt and they always onside kick. Every single time.
That's just it just speaks to the over.
It is insanity. And
because you score a lot and the other team's gonna score at least a little bit.
And I gotta do the research to see if that's the guy that was in the state of Texas in high school football. Remember a few years ago when there was a guy that everybody would rip on because that's what he did?
I remember a guy in Arkansas. Was there a guy in Texas too?
You're right. There was one in Arkansas too doing that stuff. And I wanna say the guy came through Refurio.
Okay.
In Texas at one point, and people got pissed. They literally had 8 different onside kicks that they would do. It was unreal. He almost...
Wait, 8 different onside kick plays?
Correct.
Wow.
That's how much he was committed to it.
That's interesting.
So I'm interested to see if it's that guy, or is it a disciple of that guy, or did somebody he learn from?
How can you have 8 different onside kick plays?
I'm telling you, I saw like a real sports piece on it. It was unbelievable. Huh. I saw the helicopter kick way before the Cowboys and the Falcons did it. Like, he was doing that one. You're kicking this way, that way, different formations. I'm going to use this kicker, I'm going to use that kicker. It's crazy stuff. Keep your eye on Presbyterian if you want a crazy bet there. All right, coming up, it's September 17th. We'll mix in a little bit of the 18th, tell you why today matters on this day, way back in the 80s,
one of my favorite things in the world started. I'll tell you what it was on the horn.
Hey, it's Aaron Hogan for QC Kinetics, and the fall is here. Football season. Listen, do not go through the fall months with...
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
When you say you love me, it doesn't matter. It goes into my head as just chit-chatter. You may think it's egotistical or just very free, but what you say, I take none of it seriously. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you so. I'd let you pretend to read me, and then you'd know. Because I hate when one attempts to...
MC Light?
Yes, sir!
Yeah! There we go. There we go.
Yo, that almost got me on my chair.
Yeah!
Chad Hastings, man.
Bet you thought I was overselling that a little bit earlier.
Yo,
you see now.
Trey, you were not lying.
Dude, I'm telling you, that was the example from you. I bet you thought you were going to get him there. There are times that I'm like, there's no way he's getting this.
MC Light, Chad?
MC Light.
Man.
I can see her, too. I can just see her. I remember back in the day. See, this is back in the day before MTV lost its way.
Yeah.
Before MTV totally lost its way, and they would actually show you what the artist looked like. They would show you a video. I can see MC Light prowling the streets in a video. And there's, yeah, I remember this. What's the song called?
Paper Thin.
I couldn't have told you the track name. Good stuff in there, though. I like that horn. And then that original little, I don't know, what's that, a guitar thing or whatever? That's cool, that little grindy guitar.
We do have to figure out how to monetize this talent of yours.
Got to figure out a way to do it. She was good, too, because very clear rapper. I always appreciated that, too. I'm a vocal guy. I like the words of songs. So
that's a very 80s style.
I didn't like, right, I never liked a rap, really any kind of song, when I literally cannot understand what the singer is singing. Like when they go too far into the death metal world, I can't go with them.
Well, it's like mumble rap is like that now, where you're like, huh, what are you saying?
Like, you can growl a little bit.
Squint just to get a little bit.
But when you're into when the whole song, and I'm like, dude, really?
Lyrics matter.
Like, what did you just say? Was that a recipe for, like, spaghetti? Or are you telling me to worship Satan? I can't tell what you just did.
Did you just tell me how much you love your infant child?
MC Light, ladies and gentlemen. That's a trip back right there. Isaiah Collier with some great tunes for us today, as always. He's been nice enough to produce for us on a busy Friday. Thanks to Sammy P for jumping in at 2. Brandon Lang jumped in at 1. If you'd like to go do a double degenerate comparison of what each of them said, they are on different sides of the Cowboy game, and a couple others too. We'll keep track of what they're doing this week. We made our Coors Light six-pack picks at 1:30, and to start the show every Friday now, it's Brian Jones right out of the block. It's like the old days for Trey and me. Just grab a hold of something and duck.
That was incredible this week.
Brian's going to start screaming right away. That's the way it used to be when we were on a show with Brian.
Especially after getting embarrassed by Arkansas, because BJ knows. More of that is coming.
He wanted to be wrong. He thought they'd get out-physicaled, and they got out-physicaled. And you could hear it also, the extra insulting part of that for him. He knows what Arkansas is right now in this SEC. And they have not been... To say they haven't been great is underselling it. They have not been much of anything, and now Pittman's trying to drag them out of it. The fact that they got all over Texas like that is not a good sign for Coach Sark, at least at this point. So we talked a lot of college football today, mixed in some pro ball, Washington getting the win, Cowboys facing the Chargers, and that great Chiefs-Ravens game is going to be so good on Sunday night. All right, let's get into Why Today Matters, September 17th, kids. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, so Why Today Matters for me, I'm just going to throw it out there, Trey. Today in 1984, how old were you in 1984?
1984, I would have been 6.
Okay. Today's the day in 1984 when the Transformers television show debuted.
Oh, yeah. That was on a lot in our house, too.
I loved a lot of things as a kid.
Transformers.
Robots in disguise. I loved a lot of things as a kid, but pound for pound, show for show, I don't know if I loved anything more than I loved Optimus Prime and the Transformers. I was highly addicted to this show. I got into the collecting. I got into the toys themselves. And so years later, when I tried to make fun of somebody for, you know, for kids liking Pokemon or something, it's like, well, Chad, how's that any different?
We all had those things.
It's just back in the day, your stuff. They were trying to get you to collect them all, too. It's just that you had them fighting each other. Does that make it better or worse? It's still a marketing tool, but I loved it. Optimus Prime and Megatron and Starscream and the crowd, that was my thing.
Yeah, look, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Battle Cats, He-Man, She-Ra. There were a number of different shows and subsequent toys in our house, and Transformers is absolutely on that list.
So good.
I never got into the movies. The cartoon movie I got into,
yes,
the live action movies, I never got into any of those because that was a little bit past my time.
Yeah. There may be some reasons as to why you didn't get into them.
Shia LaBeouf?
Actually, Shia's not the problem with those movies. Not even close. Actually, his humor helps to carry that first movie a little bit. My contention is Michael Bay ruined the Transformers.
Oh, that's right. It's stupid Michael Bay.
He made it too showy. He made it too fast. He made it too quick. And most importantly, here's the OCD part of it. Get ready, kids. Most importantly, he, for some reason, decided to give Optimus Prime a mouth. And I have no idea why. And it ruined the entire thing.
What?
Optimus Prime does not have a mouth. Optimus Prime is a badass with that cool shield in front of his face at all times. But Michael Bay decided that he would have a mouth. And he gave him a mouth that was basically like a, you know, when we use like Adobe Audition and stuff and you have the sound bar. He basically used that for Optimus Prime's mouth. And then when he fought, then sometimes the shield would show up out of nowhere. How dare you, Michael Bay?
Well, this is the same director who had Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett save Pearl Harbor, so...
Oh, my God.
I guess we know that's where true. He is on historical accuracy, including with fictional things.
Whether it is sad or not, if you ask my wife and daughter, what is my problem with the Transformers movies, they will tell you, Optimus Prime has a mouth. They
it's
know
a legitimate
it.
Gripe.
It's horrible.
It's a little thing that matters. Sometimes the nuance doesn't matter. With something like that, it matters.
You think?
Because it's not necessary.
Right.
It's like some of the redos that George Lucas did with the Star Wars films, where there are a few things were okay, but there's some stuff where you're like, was this worth it to really look like you didn't know what you were doing with CGI just to try and put one little extra effect in there?
Don't get my nerdy ass started on George Lucas mistakes. Hoo-hoo! That'd be a long time.
Give me the biggest one.
It's a long time, brother. Greedo shooting first is the biggest mistake ever, probably.
Okay.
If we're going to, I mean, there's a lot that go on. There's all the no's that he inserted later.
What the hell is Greedo?
But Greedo shooting first, how dare you? How dare you? How dare you? Greedo shooting first is probably the biggest mistake. September 17th is Transformers Day, but Trey, it is also, let's see, what do we have?
I've got something here.
What do you got? What do you got today?
One of the underrated bar games out there, National Table Shuffleboard Day.
Ooh.
Guys, if we're power ranking, and Zay, I want your thoughts here. If we're power ranking the bar games that we enjoy playing while sipping on a beverage or maybe drinking water because you've indulged in something else in the car beforehand, where does shuffleboard rank for you amongst bar games?
I'm going to go bronze medal. I'm going to say bronze medal.
Number three?
I'm going to say bronze medal, and only pool and darts can beat it.
See, I go shuffleboard over darts, maybe pool too. What about you,
Whoa.
Zay?
Man, I love some darts, but yeah, I'm with Chad. It's around bronze, I guess.
Okay.
Right, but I mean, because to me, pool and
number
darts.
Number one is darts for you, Zay?
Yes, love darts.
Darts, then pool, and then maybe, I'll tell you what, the last time the last year or so, we did a little vacation, and there was a really cool stand-up shuffleboard. Every time I'm at one of those tables, I think, I need to go price one of these things. I need to find out how much it costs. They're expensive, by the way.
Oh, they are?
They're expensive.
I figured there is a big secondhand market for them because so many people buy them thinking they want a shuffleboard table in their house,
yeah.
And then it turns into an inversion table.
That's what I
where
need.
Where it just sits collecting dust in the garage.
I need to get a shuffleboard of some sort in my life because when I was a little kid, I fell in love with even old person shuffleboard. Old person, like on a cruise slide shuffleboard.
Mm-hmm.
I love that thing. Big old stick and the thing and the whoosh, I could do that one. But then the stand. End up with the sand, and there's just all kinds of ingredients of that I love. I should own one, but I don't.
See, I love the manicuring of the board, too.
Yes.
With the sand.
Right.
It's just so much fun. The whole setup is great.
We played that. My brother-in-law and my niece and nephew and my daughter. I mean, we played all kinds of rounds of it at this last vacation, and I'm like, why don't I have one of these?
Yeah.
I love that thing.
Yeah, good for you. I hope that you can convince Wendy to waste that money because it will be a waste of money.
The pool table I have, if they have like a something I could set on top of, because I have a ping pong table you can set on top of the pool table. Do they have I can set the shuffleboard on top of the pool table?
How often per, let's say, week do you play pool?
Oh, I haven't played in a long time. I did get it, though, in the last year.
That's what would happen with the shuffleboard table, too. That's my point.
In the last year, I did get the Legos cleared off enough, because my kid's a Lego freak.
So to what? Put some helmets on there?
No, I cleared it off long enough to play a couple games of pool, and now it's cluttered again.
Okay.
That's like a week.
That's the problem with something like that. It turns into a good place to set things down that you then forget about.
Exactly. Especially when you have a ping pong table that goes on top, because then my wife just takes the net off and then just stacks stuff up.
And then it turns into a pure table.
And then it's a table. Yeah, exactly. It's a storage table.
Well, that's such a cool table. Where did you get that? Oh, Chad had a ping pong affinity for about 2 weeks.
Exactly. In the world of sports, the legendary Phil Jackson, maybe the greatest basketball coach that ever lived. Y'all have a discussion on that one. He is 76. North Dakota is the old school, if you don't know.
Phil Jackson, GOAT, Zay?
Nah, Mike was nice, Scotty was nice, Shaq was nice, Kobe was nice. Sorry, Phil.
Who's the greatest coach ever then, for you?
Oh, man. My Pop.
Ah, Popovich.
Right, yeah. Popovich. My Mount Rushmore, Larry Brown, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich.
I like it. Okay.
Love it.
It's a good group. You can win a lot of games with that Mount Rushmore. Happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes, 26 years old for Patrick as he goes into that big game against Baltimore. One of Austin's icons. I know a lot of people don't like to claim him, Trey, but he hits a big number. Tomorrow, Lance Armstrong is going to be 50. Just to
happy
throw
birthday,
it out.
Lance.
Lance, I'm going to throw it out, dude. I'm one of the last people that is still wearing the Livestrong bracelet from my boy that beat testicular cancer. I'm going to wear it till it breaks, and I don't think you should have given those yellow jerseys back. I was all with you when you laid on that couch and took the picture. I was with you on that defiance.
No, screw that.
That was great.
He tried to ruin people's lives who were being honest about things. Lance Armstrong still hasn't shown the proper amount.
Oh, what are you talking about? There's been apologies. There's been documentaries.
Yeah, the apologies have been with tongue firmly implanted in cheek. He doesn't take full-on blame for what he went through and the lies that he told and how much he benefited of this result. I don't necessarily disagree that in a level playing field where everybody's using the same system of doping that he wouldn't still have won, or if nobody doped, he wouldn't still have won because he was just that good. Mm-hmm. That's not the reality, though. We're talking about a guy who was adamant and who built his image on being this squeaky clean guy in this dirty sport, and that turned out not to be the case, and he ruined a lot of people's lives in the process who did try to be upfront and honest about things.
I'm just saying, when they called up and said, we're going to come get those yellow jerseys, those seven yellow jerseys, he should have told him to go to hell. I hope he did. Just like Reggie Bush should have told the Heisman Committee to go to hell. Send us your Heisman. No. You get a search warrant if you want my Heisman. What the hell are you talking about?
Having said all of that.
I earned that Heisman.
Lance, if you're listening right now, we'd love to have you on the show.
Hell yeah, we would. Lance will be 50 tomorrow. Also on the comedy side, the late, can't believe I'm saying late on this one, the late Fred Willard would have been 88 years old today. I'm a huge fan of Fred's, all the way back to Real People in the 70s and 80s. And
he had a quick decline.
And I just rewatched Best in Show. He is so good in Best in Show.
We talked about Norm earlier this week, obviously. He's another one of those great deadpan guys.
Yes, he is.
Well, he'll just say messed up stuff, and the voice won't really change one way or the other.
Were you a Modern Family guy? Did you watch that show?
I remember seeing him, and that's where I actually saw the decline, too, because the first couple of seasons, he was great, and then you could tell they were doing him a favor by continuing to put him on the show.
Him and Ty Burrell in scenes together, the idea of that casting, brilliant, man. Mm-hmm. I love me some Fred Willard.
Another gone too soon, although Fred may not be gone too soon. This guy is gone too soon. There's actually about to be a prequel made from the series that helped make him so popular. James Gandolfini would have had a birthday tomorrow.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that one. That is, and I saw, was it maybe HBO, HBO Max? They're about to have a marathon of Sopranos running somewhere.
Well, I think you can watch every episode of Sopranos on HBO Max.
You can, but I think, maybe it's a non-HBO channel that's going to run it this weekend. Maybe an A&E or something. Somebody's running a marathon this week, starting this week.
So the younger Gandolfini, his son, is actually playing young Tony in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if it's made for HBO, if it's actually going to hit the theaters, too. He looks and sounds exactly like him, which is obviously very possible with a son. So I'm excited to see what the prequel ends up being.
Good casting, good casting choice there. All right, Stems and Seeds coming up. We get you ready for a big weekend of football, college, and pro. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Creek Lending Group. Find him at homeloandude.com.
In MLS 299-345.
What's up, baby? I've been eyeing you.
Shirts and skins.
I've been trying to get a little closer.
Oh,
but
my God.
You won't let it if I see something I want. I just go out and get it. I'm like a floozy. I'm choosing.
There you go.
I don't fall for tricks. Because guys be running games like the New York Knicks.
Put on a square, dear.
What's the name of it? Did I get it right?
Yeah, I'm not having it.
I'm not having it.
I'm positive.
This is where I fell in love with MC Light.
And you got to kick you better than
this is it. I love the small little niche of rap where women were fighting back a little bit. I kind of dug it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not having it. That was so great. it was good. I like that. MC Light. Isaiah played MC Light earlier, and I asked about this song. What's the guy's name? I don't even remember him.
Positive K, and I'm pretty sure he would have gotten Me Too'd if this was around this era.
You know what? Positive K and MC Light, kind of a modern day, Baby It's Cold Outside, if you think about it. It's a little bit of that vibe to it, right?
Yeah, a little black Baby It's Cold Outside.
The black Baby It's Cold Outside.
Hey, you got to do a Coors spot real quick.
Yes, I do. Coors Light, my favorite light beer on the planet. I had one last night, in fact, because Kevin Dunn told me to in a text, so I did. 102 calories per 12 ounces, 0 grams of fat, 5 grams of carbs. I might have a Coors Light or two planned for my weekend. It is the only domestic beer of the Longhorn, so get all stocked up for your tailgates, your watch parties, and remember, you can get it delivered to you with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. All right, we got some, we got football going on throughout the weekend. Let's see if we can get you a couple more notes before we get out of here. Stems and Seeds time. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com.
Big news out of Dallas today, Chad.
Oh, here we go. What?
Big Tex was lifted into place today.
Oh, that is big news, yeah.
At the State Fair, a week before the fair gets opening, the Texas State Fair.
Nice.
And 3 weeks and a day before I will be back at the fairgrounds for Texas OU, indulging in all things State Fair ahead of that 11 a.m. kickoff.
That is awesome. That's the good news out of Dallas. Bad news out of Dallas is that Ty Nasecki, who's supposed to be backing up Terrence Steele, he had an illness. They had to have an ambulance show up at practice. Hopefully he'll be all right. A heat-related illness. And so now it is going to be Terrence Steele backed up by Brandon Knight out at the right tackle position. Oh, mercy. Cowboys at the Chargers. 3:25 kick on Sunday. Pre-game at 2:30 here on the Horn.
Good luck with Bosa.
Oh, my goodness. Also, Trey, if the fantasy owners care, Miami receiver Will Fuller is out for this week's game. Miami hosts, is it Buffalo? Yeah. He's out for that game. Some sort of personal reason. We hope everything's all right with Will Fuller, but if you got him, you're going to have to bench him this week.
So Brian Flores was asked about him a little bit earlier today, and he declined to say whether he believes Fuller will return to the team this season.
Whoa.
So hopefully there's not something much more serious going on with Will Fuller.
Yeah, that sounds like really bad. That's definitely not good. All right, Texas and Rice. Anything else we need to get out here this week? It's a game Texas ought to handle in a pretty big way. Yes?
Real quick, before we get to that, Jerry Jones was apparently on 105.3 The Fan today, because of course he was, talking about his football team.
Radio shows.
And gave out a pretty funny quote on Randy Gregory, whether or not he's playing Sunday and trying to recover from COVID. You're down to the Nats' ass right now on whether or not he'll be ready to play or not. It's close. We have to have some negative tests. Some Nats' ass.
The old Nats' ass.
Or Jerry Jones. As far as Texas and Rice, Texas has not done a good job in either of their games, including the Louisiana game, that was mostly impressive, of getting off to a fast start. That's what I'd like to see this Saturday against Rice. It felt like when Casey Thompson came in, each of the last 2 weeks, things just felt a little bit more natural for him than Hudson Card. So hopefully that translates to offensive success, and we see the defense make some stops as well.
I would love to say that I want to see Sark get back to being aggressive and see the same aggression from the Louisiana game. I'm kind of thinking just the opposite, though. I would love to see Texas go super ultra vanilla in this game. I would love to see Sark break this down to such a level that his offensive and defensive lines have to play. They just have to be badasses. Mm. Don't get fancy. Don't get clever. Just go out and block and tackle better. Just sort of work their way back. Because if you go out there and you overly cute it again and you make us think you're clean and you make us think you're aggressive, we're still going to ask if you're going to do that in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
How about you just strip it all down and hand it to Bijan Robinson?
That's a good starting point. And I would like to see Casey throw the football a little bit. I know his legs are a part of his arsenal. They can be a part of Hudson Card's arsenal, too.
Yeah.
But I do want to see him stick back there and find some open targets downfield, too.
All right. RBKD is hanging out in Jeff Howe's neck of the woods. They're in San Marcos at the Craft House Kitchen and Tap. Check out Rod and Kevin and all the stuff they've got for you out there. Jeff Howe will be stopping by. There's some drink specials they'll tell you about. The food and beverage menu as well. Go to hornfm.com for the details or just get out there. Put in your GPS, Craft House Kitchen and Tap. They're coming up, and then all the high school action tonight. Bowie's got the night off. Lake Travis and Vandegrift have games on the Austin Radio Network. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks to Isaiah for hanging out with us today. See you.